Now that the game is done, it's our time to check in.
Three from the left corner is pure, and it's a three-point game, 109-106.
Bucks Talk starts now.
Lillard, he's going to try a step-back three for the win. Wide right, no good, and Magic are going to win 111-109.
And now, live from Fiserv Forum, here's Justin Garcia.
Two-point loss tonight on the home floor for the Bucks. A game they had a chance to pull out, as Doc Rivers said after the game in his post-game comments. I'm going to live with Damian Lillard taking a game-winning shot every single time here, but we talked about this coming into the game tonight, some of the challenges that this Orlando Magic team presents, what their strengths are, their athleticism, their length and size, and how much they really grind you down defensively. It's a game the Bucks only attempted 23 three-pointers, and that's kind of been the norm. Not that 23 number per se, but just the low volume of three-point attempts against the Orlando Magic in all four games so far this season. As Doc Rivers said, well, it's their switchability. And think about from the onset tonight, Franz Wagner was the player that was taking the Damian Lillard assignment. They can switch around onto almost anyone. 1 through 5 switchability for the most part with this group defensively. They came out with a hot shooting performance to start this game, and it did regress to the mean along the way, but this defense just made life difficult for the Bucks. And I think you center in on a couple of big statistics here that stand out the most. We talked about turnovers that did start to balance out as the game progressed, and the Bucks even starting to come up with turnovers themselves down the stretch and leading to points off of turnovers. But to me, a big piece of this is when you look at the production that the Orlando Magic got in this game from points off of turnovers and second chance points, the work they put in on the offensive glass, that was one of the bigger differences in this game. Three-point shooting we can point to, as Doc Rivers also pointed out after the game, they're going to take those shots, right? So they start hitting them early. You just have to assume there's going to be a regression to the mean. It's not like a team is going to come in and not take three. So I wasn't discouraged by that. I was discouraged by the ball movement. And in many ways, Doc Rivers kind of foreshadowed for us before the game in his pregame commentary, where he talked about that ball movement and trying to get looks for guys that are coming off the bench, their second unit, shooters that they have there, guys like A.J. Green. I know he's not coming off the second unit, but your secondary scorers and a player like Torian Prince. How do you get those guys involved and make sure your shooters get shots? And as Doc Rivers said, you know, we just have to move the ball. When those guys don't get a lot of shots, it usually means we're playing a lot of iso ball, and that is not good for us. And you look at those players, Torian Prince started to get on a heater late in this game. 3 of 5 on threes. A.J. Green was 0 of 3. Kevin Porter Jr., only 2 three-point attempts. Even only 2 for A.J. Green, I should point out as well. I know he missed all of them, but you want to see those numbers get higher, and it just wasn't there. And as Doc told us before the game, when those numbers are low, it means the ball's not moving around as much as it should. And that was one of the things that stood out in this one tonight as well. 855-616-1620. The number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk, that's Signing Unlimited Talk and Text Line. If you want to join us and share your thoughts on what we saw in this one tonight, as four-game win streak comes to an end for the Bucks, and discouraging is probably the wrong word, but you really wanted this game because of what waits for you tomorrow night. I think even the most optimistic Bucks fan would say splitting this weekend. That is the goal. Can you go 1-1? This makes it even more challenging. Not only to have the Cleveland Cavaliers on your schedule one final time, but it's night 2 of a back-to-back for you, and they are a rested team that has been firing on all cylinders, winning 13 consecutive games. So we'll take a bit of a look ahead to that game as well. Again, 855-616-1620, the Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight. More after this on Bucks Talk.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
A.J. Green grabbed the ball. He's got to get the ball across half court. Quickly gets it to Sims, who now finds himself in a 2-on-1. To the rim! He dumped it over! Jonathan Isaac baptized him with one hand.
Jericho Sims, a massive dunk over Jonathan Isaac, who appeared he was up to the challenge and at the last moment made the business decision to say, I'm going to stand in place for the charge, but I'm going to start to lean back here. And Jericho Sims continues to show that athleticism and what he brings to the team now, his versatility and switchability. We talked about the Magic able to do it. I thought there was a couple of key moments in this game that Bucks second unit really stood out because of that athleticism and defensive versatility. And so much so, Doc even backed that up at the end of the game. Saw Kevin Porter Jr. close this game, and the Bucks opted to play small with Giannis and Kyle Kuzma in the front court and using guards to help push the tempo. As Doc said, we liked what we saw there with some of the shots that we were getting and the way this team was playing defensively. And again, it's one of the things they were not able to do earlier in the season. Play different. Show that versatility. You have that now. It's so many times can get misconstrued as it means we need a center that's versatile and can switch and play out on the perimeter. I still contend, and I think what we've seen in how this group has used their minutes, it means you need to be able to play different styles, right? You need to be able to really pound it around the basket and to be a physical team in the paint with somebody like a Brook Lopez. It means you need to be able to play Giannis at the five. You need somebody else like a Jericho Sims that can switch. So we've continued to see different looks from this group and things that are going to help them out immensely once we get into the postseason. 855-616-1620 is the Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's head to the phone lines and check in with Kevin in Milwaukee. You're up first.
Hey, good evening. I just had a couple observations of the game. I'm not sure why Lillard would take that last shot. He was kind of mediocre tonight, and Giannis was pretty hot. I'm not sure why he didn't try to get the ball in the last 6.6 seconds to Giannis. The Bucks have a too high opportunity to shoot threes. They need to cut back on the threes and go to the post a little more often. And last but not least, they need a third scorer. Again, when Chris Middleton was traded, they were supposed to get a third or better scorer. They really have Lillard and Giannis as the two top scorers. And then, you know, no one else really plays the third fiddle, if you will. It's kind of disappointing, but every team almost in the league can compete with the Bucks. And I thought the Bucks were supposed to be a more dominant team in the NBA at this point.
I mean, I don't know about the last part. Like, you need somebody that is going to consistently hit shots in the playoffs. I won't disagree with that, but who's the Lakers' third scorer? Who's the Pacers' third scorer? Right, who's the Warriors' third scorer? You know, even teams like the Celtics. Who's the Celtics' third scorer? Kristaps Porzingis, I suppose you could say. Well, we haven't seen him all season long. I mean, the league is moving away, further and further away from top-heavy teams like that. The way the Celtics are constructed, that's going to be the last group that we see like that. Tomorrow's opponent, the Cleveland Cavaliers. Who is the third scorer for the Cleveland Cavaliers? You know, for that matter, we still need to answer some playoff questions for a guy like Evan Mobley, who's the second scorer for the Cavs. So I don't buy into, hey, you need somebody that he's the third option here. I think you feel pretty good to have 60 points on the floor in Giannis and Damian Lillard, and especially somebody like a Dame who is a proven half-court scorer and a guy that has had some big moments in the playoffs. Again, that's the reason why you made this trade, because your offense just was not good enough in the postseason year after year after year. So you have that. Doc talked about mid-range shots before this game as well, pointing out, hey, I mean, I think there's a lot of noise around mid-range shots. And it started, probably a decade ago when that was what was being outlawed, that everything had to be a three-pointer or a layup. And as Doc said, I think it gets overblown. There's still some importance there, because when you get into the playoffs, mid-range shots are important. You know, like, those are the shots that are out there in the playoffs. The Oklahoma City Thunder, talking about a third leading score. Who's the third scorer on the Oklahoma City Thunder? Oklahoma City's a good team in the mid-range. You get to the playoffs, and the one shot that will win a game is in the mid-range. You just don't want early contested ones. The ones where you're taking the first 10 seconds and the ball doesn't move around to both sides of the floor, those are the ones you have an issue with. But you've seen guys like a DeMar DeRozan, like a guy that Kevin just pointed out, and Chris Middleton and his scoring that he brought. Guys like Chris Middleton, like they've found a niche and extended their longevity with that mid-range game. And it's something Jason Kidd talked about with Giannis, too, in that this is going to extend his longevity. Like, I think that is one of the more important things we've seen for this group's ceiling is Giannis's improved mid-range shooting hovering close to 50% because of the importance those shots take on once you get into the playoffs. I get teams are going to say, we're not letting Giannis beat us. We're not letting Damian Lillard beat us. And why you would want to say, we need a third score, it just puts the importance on your role players hitting shots and having good shooters versus, the old mantra that you hear of fake good shooters and guys that shoot at a high rate in the regular season because there's not a whole lot of hard closeouts. Maybe a lot of those looks are uncontested and they get to the playoffs, and it's a much different story. We've seen it here in Milwaukee with individual players in the past. Think about a guy like Josh Giddey, speaking of the Oklahoma City Thunder and how that series and his overall performance just kind of cratered last season when teams said, okay, this guy ain't it. Leave him open. Let him take those looks. They're not going to fall. The Bucks tried to do that to somebody like a Grant Williams in that series against the Boston Celtics. So to me, that's the more important part is finding the right mix of role players and finding guys that are good shooters. The whole 82 versus 16 player conversation. So in other words, are you good for 82 games or are you somebody that can win 16 games in the playoffs? That's the important part to me. It's not having this guy as our clear-cut number three, because I think there were some downsides with an offense like that, and I think we started to see it the last couple of years. It cuts down on some of that organic movement to the basket, without the basketball, cuts, things like that. You can get bogged down a lot and just kind of stand and watch. So I do like the mix the Bucks have. And, we mentioned some of the things that did not go their way tonight. I'm not saying they win the game if he plays, but the way this game was played, you really missed a guy like a Gary Trent Jr., and that's another guy that we've seen have some of these big moments. So I just don't think it's as simple as they need a clear-cut third guy. I think it's more important that you have role players that you trust and you believe are going to come up big in the playoffs. Coming up big, by the way, doesn't mean, hey, this guy's going to score 30 points or this guy's going to score 20 points even. It's just when that moment arises, when we leave you open, when you have that opportunity, you got to hit that shot and you got to take advantage of it. And for the most part, I do believe that's the roster that the Bucks have assembled here. I would also respectfully push back on the fact that I do think the Bucks have really cut down, maybe not on volume of threes, but they have really been more selective and changed their offense. I mean, tonight, they took 23 threes tonight. Tonight's not the night to say they're taking too many threes. And even a guy like Brook Lopez, who, by the way, was 2 of 2 from three tonight, we've seen Brook Lopez playing around the rim a lot more since the trade deadline and since all these pieces have fallen into place. So, again, we talk about versatility defensively. I think it carries over to the offensive side, too. You got to be able to play different ways there. And you can see Brook Lopez stretching the floor, Brook Lopez playing in the dunker spot and playing around the rim as well. So we've seen those signs of growth for this Bucks team. The biggest thing, you would love to win tomorrow night against the Cleveland Cavaliers, if for no other reason than your current record against the top three teams in the Eastern Conference. Same story for that Knicks game that you have March 28th. But you got to be healthy. And as disappointing as this would be, and I know we said Doc Rivers had mentioned, Gary Trent Jr., we hope, is going to be able to play tomorrow night. If the Bucks say, look, we played Giannis a heavy amount of minutes tonight, same with Damian Lillard, they're not going to play tomorrow. It would be very disappointing. I get that. But I don't have a problem with it because we've seen last 2 years, you have not been fully healthy in the playoffs. And even beyond that, right? 3 years. Ever since you won the championship, you have not had a fully healthy postseason. So whatever it takes to get there this year, that to me is the most important part. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. More after this. I mentioned Cleveland Cavaliers are in town tomorrow. We'll take a look at what that team has done so far this season and really the past couple of weeks on a 13-game win streak. We'll take a closer look at the matchup after this.
The Round Ball Repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk.
Four starters plus A.J. Green on the floor for the Bucks as Giannis gets the inbound pass from Dame. Screen, Giannis downhill, two-hand dunk. Great screen from A.J. Green, and it leads to the two-hand stop from Giannis.
37 points tonight from Giannis Antetokounmpo, who is now, I believe, 3 points back of Tom Chambers for number 50 on the NBA's all-time scoring list. So again, assuming he plays tomorrow, we are going to see Giannis move into number 50 tomorrow night. I mentioned we'll take a look at that opponent, the Cleveland Cavaliers. We'll save that for the next segment because I do want to talk about something off the court, that a conversation that really started to spark Thursday night. And some back and forths that I had and chats from other Bucks fans about what's going on in New York with the Knicks and that injury to Jalen Brunson. So let's level set here. Jalen Brunson's out at least 2 weeks. Tom Thibodeau said we will reevaluate or will provide an update on him in about 2 weeks. So that does not mean Jalen Brunson is going to be back on the floor 2 weeks from Thursday. What, the 21st, 20th of March? Probably going to be a little bit longer than that, but I would assume this means the season's not over for Jalen Brunson. But as soon as he went down, and it didn't look good, and as somebody that suffered an ankle injury, I can tell you it doesn't feel good. I think everybody said, and I've said this before too, when we were having the conversations last week, of the Bucks starting to piece together much better play, you'd look at the standings and you'd still see that separation with the Knicks. It just felt like, look, because of where they're at and because of the fact that we cannot lose sight of this, the New York Knicks have the tiebreaker. That's going to make this not insurmountable, but incredibly difficult, that you have to tack on one more game to the loss column because of that tiebreaker. It's going to take something like a catastrophic injury to the Knicks for the Bucks to catch them, was my belief. Then the door seemingly opened with that Jalen Brunson injury. And immediately, I don't know if it's being a wet blanket, but tried to just say, look, maybe the door's open here. It's still going to be a challenge because of what this means. You're going to have to outplay the Knicks by 4 games. You're going to have to take advantage. Close games, you're going to have to win them. You got to win that game against the Knicks. And a few people pointed out too, well, not really, because that game against the Knicks, like, it means it's two bites at the apple, essentially. You win it, it's a win for you and it's a loss for them. Yes, but they have the tiebreaker, so it doesn't make as much of a difference as you would think. Losses like tonight hurt, especially when you factor in the remaining schedule for both teams. The Bucks have the fifth most difficult remaining schedule in the league. So in other words, games you have left, add up the records. What's the overall win percentage in those games? 54%. That is the fifth highest. The Phoenix Suns have the toughest remaining schedule. Right? You lump together teams with the best record that they have to play yet. They got one left against the Cavs, one left against the Thunder. Both are their games against the Celtics. One left against the Lakers, one left against the Knicks, one left against the Memphis Grizzlies. Bucks have been playing a lot better. That doesn't even factor in their 2 games they have left with the Bucks. Sacramento Kings have the second toughest schedule. The Denver Nuggets have the third toughest schedule. The Jazz have the fourth, and there sit the Bucks. The Bucks, by far, have the most challenging schedule left of any Eastern Conference team. You got to go all the way down to number 11 to find the next team in the East, and that's the Brooklyn Nets, who are probably happy with a challenging schedule because they would love to continue to drop games and increase their lottery chances. The New York Knicks have the 17th most difficult remaining schedule. And after tomorrow, Bucks and Knicks will have played an even amount of games. They'll both have 19 games remaining. The Knicks don't play again until Tuesday. The Bucks also play Tuesday against the Indiana Pacers. And actually, I beg your pardon, the Knicks don't play again until Monday. So the Knicks are playing in Sacramento on Monday night. Bucks play in Indiana on Tuesday night. But as we currently sit here in the standings, you're 36-26. The Knicks are 40-23. So you're three games back in the loss column. But again, you have to finish with a better record than the Knicks. So that's why we say you have to outplay them by four games. In their 19 remaining games, even if they go 9-10, without Jalen Brunson, let's assume Jalen Brunson doesn't play again in the regular season and the Knicks go 9-10 the rest of the way, the Bucks would have to win 14 of their remaining 15 games, or excuse me, 14 of the remaining 19 games to pass the Knicks. So that's why it just doesn't feel like the numbers are on your side, and it's going to be 4, 5, or 6. And especially with a loss like this one tonight, you need to look at what the Pacers and Pistons are doing. Pacers lost, and it was another game they played without Tyrese Halliburton. So we will certainly be mindful of the injury report for Monday night when the Pacers are in Chicago to take on the Bulls. I would assume Tyrese Halliburton is not going to play in that game because you have the Bucks on Tuesday night and night two of a back-to-back. But the Pacers have not won this season when Tyrese Halliburton has not been on the floor. So keeping an eye on what the Indiana Pacers do and what the Detroit Pistons do is what's more important than can you catch the New York Knicks, because, again, the numbers at this point with 20 games remaining for the Bucks, 19 for the Knicks, the numbers just aren't on your side there. So keep the Pacers and Pistons at bay, and it sets up this week as a huge week, this upcoming week, for the Bucks. Two games against Indiana on the road on Tuesday here in Milwaukee, 1 week from tonight. If you split those games and just win one, you get the tiebreaker against the Indiana Pacers, which is going to likely loom very, very large down the stretch. So the same thing that we just said, you got to outplay the Knicks by X amount of games. You have to finish with a better record than the Knicks. You can't rely on, well, if we can just catch them and then fall into a tiebreaker, whether divisional record or conference record, whatever it is, that's what you have to lean on. You'll have that against the Indiana Pacers if you just split these games. And let's say you win Tuesday. I mean, as it stands right now, you're one up in the loss column. Ideally, Pacers lose to the Bulls on Monday. You beat the Pacers on Tuesday. Then you really start to see some separation and put them in your rearview mirror and set up a final weekend of the regular season that includes two huge games against the Detroit Pistons. Your final two games, that Friday night in Detroit, and then Sunday afternoon here in Milwaukee against those Pistons. Same story there. Win one of those two games, and you win the head-to-head tiebreaker. I think the most important thing is for all the naysayers and all the doom and gloom at various parts of this season. I mean, I get it. The 2-8 start, up and down play along the way at other times. It would seem like, much like tonight's game, that the Bucks would be headed in the right direction, then something would happen. You'd see a bit of a setback. We haven't really seen that, knock on wood, for the last couple of weeks now. It's been a much more consistent group, and I think the personnel changes are a big part of it. But there's almost no chance this group is going to be involved in the play-in tournament, and that was something we heard quite a bit of, especially during that 2-8 start when Doc Rivers himself had it thrown at him. Hey, I forget what the number is, but X amount of teams have made the playoffs after starting 2-8. Are you at all concerned about this? And he immediately shot it down. We're going to be in the playoffs. Like, we know who we are as a team. I'm not concerned with that. And that's exactly what we've seen from this group. I mean, you take out the 2-8 start, they're 34-18 since then. Right now, the Miami Heat are atop that play-in tournament. 29-33. Bucks are 8 games up in the loss column on Miami. They're 9 games up in the loss column, 8 games up in the loss column as well on the Atlanta Hawks. Actually, let's take that back. 7 up on the lost column on the Miami Heat. 7 up on the Atlanta Hawks. They're 9 up on the Orlando Magic, and they have the tiebreaker. So, again, we just said it's going to be tough to make up 3 games without the tiebreaker against the New York Knicks. Bucks have the tiebreaker against the Heat. Bucks have the tiebreaker against the Magic. Bucks have split the season series with the Atlanta Hawks. As of this moment, you still have 1 game left, so they have a chance to get that tiebreaker. It's even more difficult. So I do feel like we know it's going to be 4, 5, or 6. That's the important part. Don't get hung up in, well, if you drop down to here, if you do this, maybe this matchup is better, because any team that wins the Eastern Conference, the likelihood, unless it's either the Cavs or the Celtics, the likelihood is you are going to have to beat both the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Boston Celtics to get out of that conference. There's no way around it. So there's no scenario here where you can set it up and say, well, if you finish here, maybe this team will beat the Cavs, maybe this team would beat the Celtics, and you would have a cakewalk, or you'd only have to play one of those two teams. It's probably not going to happen. So just make sure you're healthy when the playoffs are rolling around here. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. I mentioned those Cavs. We'll take a closer look at the heater the Cleveland Cavaliers have bet on, coming up after this on Bucks Talk.
This is Bucks Talk.
In the right corner, Green to inbound, gets it to Lillard. 6.6 to go, Wagner on him. Lillard, he's going to try a step back three for the win. Wide right, no good. And Magic are going to win 111-109.
Yeah, again, as Doc said, maybe it wasn't the greatest execution. I mean, they did not have any timeouts, did the Bucks? Just over 6 seconds remaining at that point in the game there. But I'm going to live with Damian Lillard taking a game-winning shot 10 times out of 10. And just ultimately did not drop tonight as the Bucks' four-game win streak comes to an end at the hands of the Orlando Magic, 111-109. 855-616-1620 is the signing unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Up next for the Bucks, the Cleveland Cavaliers come to town for a matchup tomorrow night. Night 2 of a back-to-back for the Bucks. Cleveland has won 13 consecutive games. The last time the Cleveland Cavaliers lost, Luka Doncic, days earlier, was a member of the Dallas Mavericks. The trade deadline, Kyle Kuzma wasn't on the Bucks yet. February 4th, against the Boston Celtics, the last time the Cavs lost a game. So 13 straight wins. They've scored 110 or more in each of those 13 games. 14 is the record for a win streak while scoring 110 points or more. The 1986 Boston Celtics is the team that did that. So that's a number to keep an eye on in tomorrow night's game. But during the course of this win streak, same old for the Cleveland Cavaliers. They've had the top-rated offense in the league. They have the third-best defense in the league as well. And by the way, that defense is basically neck and neck with the Bucks. The Bucks have the fourth-best defense at that same stretch, or since that same date, but they're 15th in offense. Cleveland's had a couple of close games here recently, including their most recent game, where they just narrowly held off the Charlotte Hornets, 118-117. They had a close one that went down to the wire against the Miami Heat a couple of days before that. They had a close one that went into overtime 1 week ago, Sunday afternoon, against the Portland Trail Blazers, ultimately winning that. Their statement victory this season was last Friday, when they fell down 23 points in the first quarter to the Celtics and came back to win, 123-116. They beat this Magic team by 40 points on the road. They beat the Knicks by 37 points. They beat the Memphis Grizzlies. So they have been beating good teams. They've been playing incredible basketball all season long. Last time you saw the Cavs was early in the season. And again, I think that's the biggest shame of the schedule for the Bucks. It's not so much the numbers that we just gave you before. Hey, the Bucks have the fifth most difficult schedule left, a 541 opponent win percentage. No one in the Eastern Conference is close to that. I think The most unfortunate part is nothing was really working earlier in the season for the Bucks, and there's, I'm sure, a bevy of reasons for that. The personnel with this group has changed as well. Guys were hitting shots. I mean, ultimately, that's the biggest thing. Hey, why were the Bucks losing games? Why did they start the season 2-8? You can point to the defense, you can point to a number of things, but the simple fact is guys weren't hitting shots. When you think back to the shooting percentages for basically everybody but A.J. Green and Torian Prince. But to me, the shame of it all for the Bucks is when you think about litmus tests. The New York Knicks are a little different story, but Boston Celtics, your first matchup with the Celtics, was your fourth game of the season, and it was night two of a back-to-back. Then you go to Memphis. Then you have two straight games against the Cleveland Cavaliers, which we've all pointed out several times. Bucks lost those games, but lost by 3 points total. Then you have the Knicks once again. So in your first nine games, and the Celtics, I should say, after that. So in your first 10 games of the season, five of those games were against the Celtics, Cavs, and Knicks. And in the games played since then, you've had one game against the Cavaliers, and that came shortly after the NBA Cup, where the Bucks didn't have their full list of personnel available. You had one game against the Boston Celtics that was a similar story to the other ones. That was a competitive game, and it was really just a six-minute stretch that doomed the Bucks. And you had one other game against the New York Knicks that certainly did not go your way in early January. The point is, you know, all of these games came within the first month and a half, save for that Knicks game, of the season, when this team was still very much a work in progress. You would have loved to stagger those games a little bit more so they could be true litmus tests, not only for where you're at, but where you're at against those teams and how you have progressed throughout the season. And unfortunately, it comes on night two of a back-to-back in the case of the Cavs. That's not going to be the story at the end of the month in the game you have here against the Knicks. But this is your last chance to see, okay, going into the playoffs, we know, or at least we think we know, this is a team we're going to have to beat. How do we stack up against them? So that is going to be the interesting thing to monitor tomorrow as it comes to the injury report, because we don't know how the Bucks are going to handle this one. Giannis was on the injury report, listed as questionable today with a non-COVID illness. Damian Lillard was on there as well for the shot that he took to the face that still continues to linger after that Hawks game. And you had another game where you missed Gary Trent Jr. So all of this meant pretty heavy minutes totals for Giannis and Damian Lillard. So who knows how the Bucks are going to choose to handle this. Is this going to be your first full go at it? Let's see how we stack up against the Cavs. Or do you say, look, it's more important to play for down the road. And this is a team we may have to see in the playoffs. We think we're going to have to see in the playoffs. Let's make sure we're healthy for that final game or for that final set of games in the postseason. But certainly going to be a challenging one tomorrow on that 13-game win streak for the Cavaliers. And again, they're a team that made changes at the deadline as well. Ty Jerome's role has continued to expand for the Cavaliers throughout the course of the season. And of course, they bring in DeAndre Hunter from the Atlanta Hawks too. So we talked about the Magic switchability, not quite to the same level. Cavs have started to add a little bit more of that with guys that are two-way players. And DeAndre Hunter, Max Strus already on the roster. And certainly the damage that both Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell can bring to you as well. So a game that's going to be full of challenges tomorrow night for the Bucks here inside of Fiserv Forum. We'll start to take a look at the other scores from tonight's NBA scoreboard, what it means for the standings, and wrap things up after this on Bucks Talk.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
All right, so a big challenge tomorrow, regardless of who's available, but a big test for the Bucks against the Cleveland Cavaliers. We'll see if that 13-game win streak can come to an end and if the Bucks can get back into the win column. The big takeaways from tonight, I think overall, and we didn't spend much time talking about this, but the fight and the spirit that this team did show, nothing was really going their way, right? I mean, you could, I'm sure, lean on some of the calls that we saw throughout the course of this game, but shot making by the Orlando Magic, the lack thereof of the Bucks. Anytime the Bucks went on a run, the Magic answered with a run of their own. And they hung in there and continued to fight back and ultimately had a chance to win this game. It has been a markedly different team since the trade deadline, and especially since that final game going into the All-Star break, the win against the Minnesota Timberwolves. So you feel very good about what you've seen there, but you do have to brace yourself for the challenge of this upcoming schedule that the Bucks have, and it really starts in earnest tomorrow with the Cleveland Cavaliers on night two of a back-to-back. Two games against the Pacers next week. LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers, and the Los Angeles Lakers. LeBron James, Luka Doncic, and the Los Angeles Lakers come to town on Thursday as well. And then one more Saturday, Sunday back-to-back next weekend before the five-game West Coast road trip. Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock tip for the Bucks and the Cavaliers. 6:30 is when our pregame coverage begins. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. We will talk with you then.